Okay. Thank you, Deborah, for that session. Okay, everybody, I know very few of us went to the bathroom because we are so consumed with that question, is your soul? Is it well with you, my soul? Okay? Hindi tayo mag-share isa-isa kung ano yung sinabi natin. Okay, moving on to our next session. Last year, we were privileged to have Pastor Paul Barker to be with us, teaching us the Old Testament survey. Remember that? Okay? Ano yung mga books ng Old Testament? Sige nga. Ay, hindi pala kasama yun sa lesson. Okay. Okay, he was with us. Now, for this year, 2016, we will have a New Testament survey. Okay. So, to do our first session on the New Testament survey, we invited Pastor Noel Landicho. Let me introduce him to you. Okay, mamaya na yung palakpakan. Okay, Pastor Noel joined our ministry. He got saved in 1987. Okay, wala magtataas ng kamay na kailan yung 1987. Okay, and then the following year, he joined the ministry in 1988. So he's been in the ministry for ilang years? 28 years. So he's been serving in the ministry, full-time ministry for 28 years. He is a graduate of ATS with a degree in Master's in Divinity. And he is one of the lead pastors in Victory Ortigas. Okay? He's been married for 25 years to his beautiful wife, Gigi. Asan na si Gigi? Nagtago. Okay. Okay. He's been married to Gigi for 25 years, and they have two grown children, Cara and Marco. Okay. So let's welcome Pastor Noel.
Thank you, Miss Judy. Actually, I want to thank the leadership of the Pastor's Wives Training. Of course, Deborah, Judy, Mai, Dea, Riza, for inviting me to teach you a New Testament, and I'm hoping to mix your brain today. Okay? And I just want to say that the life of this class is dependent on how you participate, okay? So, the more questions that you ask, the better, okay? So, if you sleep, I'll sleep too, okay? if you ask questions, I'll do my best to answer them, although at times probably I'll say I don't know. And I hope that's acceptable to you because I'm not God. Maybe one day, you know? But you can ask questions or give your opinions anytime. You just have to raise up your right hand. And I reserve the right to, you know, whether call you or not. Ako pa rin teacher dito, okay? Okay, so if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's start with a warm-up question. Okay, discussion questions. Number one for this moment, let me ask, can you read that? Can we use, I can't even read it. As much as possible, AMAP, provide Bible references to support your answer. Can we use the Old Testament to preach the gospel? Explain. Wow, mali naman pala yung tanong ko, yes or no. But can you explain why? Anyone? Can we use the Old Testament to preach the gospel? Raise your hand. I'm not asking the whole class. You can answer individually, okay? Ms. Riza, do you have a mic? Ito lang. Good. Okay.
Usually we can use the Old Testament because in there you'll see the foretelling of the coming salvation, like Isaiah 53.
Okay, Isaiah 53. Okay, thank you. When you give your answers, I'll comment later whether that's right or wrong, okay? So that will not discourage others to give their answers. Okay, so because of what? Foretelling using Isaiah 53. Okay, who else? Can we use the Old Testament to preach the gospel?
Silet.
Okay.
Well, I'm not really sure about my answer. For the record, Judy volunteered me. I also recall that passage in Genesis 3 wherein God said that the seed of the snake, but the serpent will strike the heel of the seed of the woman, but the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. So that's also a foretelling of the victory of Jesus over the evil one.
Okay, thank you. Genesis 3:15, the proto-evangelium. One last. I need to hear an answer that says no and explain why no. Anyone? Okay. Your answer is no. You cannot?
My answer is no, because if you use only the Old Testament, there is just a future hope of the gospel, but the gospel itself means good news. And the good news did not come until the finished work of Christ was completed on the cross, which did not complete itself until the New Testament.
Okay. Well, how do you justify what they said?
It's definitely part because it's a giving.
So you're saying they're wrong?
I'm not saying they're wrong. No. I'm saying I'm more right.
Okay.
It's not yet complete.
Okay. So thank you, Miss Judy, for helping them. You want to know the answer?
Yes.
Okay. The answer is, of course, you can use the Old Testament. Agree? Do you agree? Yeah, if you're going to read the pages of the book of Acts, they used the Old Testament. There was no quote-unquote New Testament at that time yet. They just used the Old Testament, quoting the book of Psalms, Genesis, Isaiah. Okay? And that's why if you're given an opportunity to preach to a Jew, an Israelite, you can actually use the Hebrew Bible, a.k.a. the Old Testament, to preach the gospel to them. You don't have to use the New Testament. But the reason why I'm asking that is so that you could see that there's really a connection between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the focus of the whole Bible is really the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who connects the two covenants. And this first hour, we're going to talk about the Gospels and hopefully some of the parts after lunch. And this is what we're going to do today. This first hour, we're going to talk about the Gospels. Then the second hour, some more about the Gospels, then the book of Acts. Third hour, the book of Acts and some epistles. And then the last hour, the epistles. Okay? So I just want to answer first this first question. Why four Gospels? You ever wondered why we have four Gospels? And at times, like some tell me that some Gospel account, by the way, let me just say we only have one Gospel. What I mean by four Gospels are four different accounts. And a lot of Christians ask me, why do we need, quote-unquote, four accounts? And in some parts, they even, quote-unquote, contradict. Okay, do you ask the same question? And a lot of times, it makes us harder to explain the gospel to others, to other people, when they ask that question. But this is what we're going to talk about here in the first part. And there are probable reasons why it was included in our canon. By the way, the canon is in its simple description, a list of books of either the Old Testament and the New Testament, which we have right now. Okay? Just imagine, during the ancient times, they don't have the Bible like this. Like a book with a spine. It's more of scrolls. You know, have you seen those people who sell linoleum in the streets? It's kind of like that. That's why it's better to have it this way in the 21st century. You could actually have a copy in your smartphones. Right? You could download free apps. My app in my phone is named Pocket Sword. And it has at least 4 versions in it with commentaries, encyclopedias about the Bible. So thank God for technology. 21st century, when people will ask you, what are you reading now? Well, I'm reading the book of Isaiah. So pull out your smartphone and then it's there. Imagine in the ancient times, they cannot have personal copies. It's not like, what are you reading now? And the guy will answer you, well, I'm reading Isaiah, carrying the scroll. Okay? So that's why if you read the pages of the Bible, they usually say, hear what this prophecy is saying. It's because no one has individual copies. But going back to what we are discussing here, here are the probable reasons why there are 4 gospels. The first one is discipleship and missional intent. Like the gospels, they are not timeless. They did not fall from heaven, already written. There's a context, there is a reason why each account was written by, well, they called themselves evangelists, although some of them were apostles too. And, you know, this is one evidence here in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. I'll explain what discipleship and missional intent means. It says here, inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. So that means there are really a lot of copies. There are really a lot of people who attempted to write their own account of the gospel. By God's sovereignty, only 4 were included in the canon. Okay, again, list of books. That's why we believe that by God's sovereignty, this is it. This is the final one. We don't accept the gospel of Judas. Okay, the gospel of Thomas. No, those are pseudepigrapha. Now, many attempted to write their own account of the gospel, but Luke was saying here, verse 2, that just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word have delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, that you may have certainty concerning the things you have been taught. So, each one is a unique individual, and there are discipleship and missional intent. The Bible, well, especially the New Testament, were written for the believers. Although, of course, you can use that to reach out to the unbelievers, but they were mainly written for Christians. And like I said, there's a specific situation why a writer wrote his own account. We read from this passage that Luke had his own reason. And what I mean by discipleship and missional intent is, according to the people that they're reaching out to, and according to the personality, that was the gospel that was produced. For example, for time's sake, let me just, I cannot quote it word for word, but point you to that passage when Matthew said that ask and it shall be. What's next? Seek and you shall. Okay, when we got to that part, that, I have to read it. Matthew 7, This part, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? This is from the NIV 84. But notice what Luke did in his own account. And as we all know, Luke, they call him the evangelist of the Holy Spirit. That's why in Luke 11, this is what he wrote with regards to discipleship and missional intent. Sing first while I'm looking for the... Come on. Luke 11. Well, anyway, when we got to that part that it says, how much more will your Father in heaven give, what, in Luke? The Holy Spirit. Instead of, in Matthew, good gifts, Luke put the Holy Spirit. Okay, there was a discipleship and missional intent. He wanted his recipients to understand that there's such thing as the power of the Holy Spirit. And God is willing to give believers that kind of gift. Amen? Now, number two, personality and style. Let me just review the theories of inspiration, because this is crucial for us to understand the personality and style. There are three views that I want to cite this morning. The first one is the dictation theory. And we accept this theory in a limited sense, because in some parts of the Bible, we can see that God actually dictated word for word what the human writers ought to write. A good example is here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. When the Lord Jesus commanded John to write these words, verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, and quote, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands, so on and so forth. But like what we said, we accept this in a limited sense. And definitely not in a way that the dictation bypasses the awareness of a human writer, the writer was in a trance. Nothing like that. In fact, this is what J.I. Packer wrote. This is in your notes. This is not a situation when the mental activity of the writers was simply suspended apart from what was necessary for the mechanical transcription of words supernaturally introduced into their consciousness. There was no bypassing of the human mind when they wrote that. There's no such thing as a human writer writing in a trance. Well, there are some parts in the book of Ezekiel when the prophet Ezekiel was, in his words, possessed by the Spirit. But he was already describing that experience, and he was not writing while he was, quote-unquote, possessed by the Spirit. Okay? So that is what we mean when we say dictation, and we're not saying that that's the regular practice of the human writers. Letter B, accommodation. And it says, J. Packer, it says in your notes, describes this view of inspiration by those who hold a low view of the Bible. Some people call them liberals. It says here, we are told that since the biblical writers were imperfect creatures, how many of you here are perfect? Sabi nga nila, si Pecto lang ang perfect. Biblical writers were imperfect creatures, morally, spiritually, intellectually limited. How many of you here are intellectually limited? All of us. unless you deny that. Children of their age and children of Adam too, it was inevitable that crudities, distortions, and errors should creep into what they wrote. Thus, when God turned the water in the Nile River into blood, as you can read that in Exodus 7, it was not a miracle for them, but it was simply a result of a natural cause that happened at just the right time. In short, they were saying that the human authors they just did not know better. And they were saying, basically, these liberal scholars, they were saying that it was actually a natural phenomenon that they thought as miracles. That when that river Nile, in the perspective of the Israelites and the Egyptians, turned into blood, there was actually a mountain nearby, of course, with red soil that was somehow got wet, and the flow of water went into the Nile River, and it turned into red. And in their perspective, it was blood, but it was actually not. But again, we don't believe that in the accommodation theory because we have a high view of Scripture. And this is actually the view that we want to hold, which is the third one, providential concurrent. And J.I. Packer wrote, Scripture indicates that God in His providence was from the first preparing the human vehicles of inspiration for their predestined task, and that He caused them in many cases, perhaps in most, to perform the task through the normal exercise of the abilities which He had given them. Like God prepared the human writers, their background, like for example, the Apostle Paul, he used to be a Pharisee. Okay? The Apostle Paul got saved in the middle of him murdering believers. Although he did that with all sincerity, serving God. But that was kind of like most of us. We were in the middle of our sins when we got saved. I was in the middle of my sin when I got saved. I was not searching for God. You know, Miss Judy mentioned I got saved in 1987, but I've been attending Victory for like more than 4 months. That's why I still was able to attend services in the tandem basement. But I was in the middle of my sin. I remember the Lord, you know, thank God, He knew how to stop us. And He knew how to make us listen to what He has to say. That time, I got this chicken pox. Lalaki ng chicken pox ko nun, sisilalaki ng mga butil ng mais. You know, kernel of corn. Kaya corny ako eh. And, the usual testimony, greedy, immoral, violent. But I was there in our house. I was forced to stay at home. And I've watched all the TV shows until I have no more choice but to watch the 700 Club. You know? And on Saturday morning, the Forerunner. And I knew Pastor Rice Brooks even before I got saved. That's why when I called the 700 Club asking for prayers, they mentioned, where do you live? Oh, well, in Sampaloc, Manila. There are 3 churches nearby. And they enumerated and they mentioned Maranatha. Oh, I know that church. I'll go there. But anyway, imagine the human writers, their experience, and no other person who's better, you know, who could actually communicate the gospel better than the Apostle Paul. Coming from a life of doing his best to achieve God's favor, and that's why this is what we're talking about, providential concurrent. The Lord provided the experiences, the skills. You know what else? The emotional state. Imagine when the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians. What did he write? Galatians 3:1. You foolish Galatians. He even cursed the Galatians. He was so upset that the Galatians were trying to gain salvation by good works. But that's the reason why we say concurrent, because what the human writer was writing concurs with the will of God. Like the frustration of the Apostle Paul because of the influence of the Judaizers is the same frustration of God when Christians are trying to gain salvation through good works, or at least stay in salvation. That is what we mean when we say providential concurrent. That's why that is a factor in the differences of the accounts of the Gospels. Are you here? Questions, opinions, violent reaction. Wala? Okay. We have no questions. I have no answers. So let's move on. Number three is full perspective. Again, if you have a intersection like this, and something happened, like an accident happened in the middle of this intersection, and imagine there are four witnesses in those four corners. And the investigator will ask these witnesses, question is, do you expect them to get the same testimony word for word? Huh? What do you think? Are they going to get the same testimony word for word? Of course not. If that happens, as we say in Tagalog, sinindikato. Diba? Like there's an age-old question, how do you know if there's a dumb person in a cockpit? And someone brings a duck. Diba? How many of you here, you know there's someone dumber in the cockpit? When someone will bet on the duck? Huh? How many of you here, you know there's crime happening in the cockpit? Pag nanalo yung pato, di ba? That's organized crime. Sinindigato. Ika nga, in Tagalog. And that's why it can't be the same word for word, those four gospel accounts. Because if they're all the same word for word, then we might as well tear out the other three and just have one. But thank God we have four gospel accounts so that we can have the full perspective. I have here a copy of a news report last year, the Inquirer and the Philippine Star. It says here, Inquirer says 354 kilometer per hour super typhoon Hana to hit Philippines. On the same day, the headline of the Philippine Star is saying Super Typhoon Sudelor, aka Hana, to spare the Philippines. Two major newspapers reporting on the same event on that same day, they have two different headlines. Now, question, were they lying when they put these headlines? No. Hindi po. You know what? What actually Philippine Star was saying is it will not make landfall and therefore Philippines will be spared from the wrath of, quote-unquote, wrath of Sudelor. Whereas the PDI is basically saying that the typhoon entered at least the Philippine area of responsibility. But when you read both reports, you'll get a full perspective of what's happening. And this is actually what happened here when we have four gospel accounts. Thank God we have four gospel accounts. We have a fuller perspective. Amen? Okay. So that's the reason why we believe it's necessary to have four gospel accounts. Now, before I proceed to each book or gospel account, let me just point out first that there are different subgenres of the gospel. By the way, as the gospels as a genre, how many of you here, you know that we don't read the Bible literally? We don't. You should not. You have to read the Bible literarily. Okay? And when we say literarily, there are times when you have to read it literally. Right? But when the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery, that's literal. You don't look for a supernatural interpretation for that. But we have to read the Bible literarily, because if it's always literal, how are you going to deal with the statement that the Lord is the bread from heaven? Mukha bang pandesal si Lord? That's why you have to take that literarily. And, you know, it's not impossible for us to distinguish different genres. Right? When we say Star Wars, what's the genre? Sci-fi. When we say Pearl Harbor, what's the genre? That's historical fiction. I was upset when I watched the Pearl Harbor. I was expecting it's a bloody war movie. But it was a love story. What I wanted was the Saving Private Ryan type, where you pick up your lost arm, you know. But that's historical fiction. Or when you, what if I say Otwal, On the Wings of Love? Obviously, that's love story. Romance, di ba? God loves romance so much, he named one of the books of the Bible Romance. Okay. Bawi tayo mamaya. Nice try. But we have to review the subgenres. And again, like I said, it's not hard for us to distinguish different genres. How do you say it, ba? Whatever. My American professor in the seminary calls it genre. I don't know. Probably it's just a case of route root. Yeah. Or Coke or soda pop. But different subgenres of the Gospels. Number one, there are sayings, expressive words of wisdom. Some examples are aphorism, blessing, curse, exhortation, invective, legal demand. Wow, ang bilis natin, ah. Threat and prophetic oracle. Kind of like John chapter 3, verse 3, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Those are sayings. Or Mark 11, 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. And it says here that prophetic oracles are included in the sayings, and therefore I believe that even the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ about the fall of Jerusalem can be included in this subgenre. Okay? The next one is testimony / claims or things Jesus said about himself. Like Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Okay? And then the accounts. Well, these are basically the narrative parts and background materials, like the birth of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 2, and the narrative when the Lord Jesus Christ sent out the 12 disciples in Matthew chapter 12. Now, there are miracles and signs also, and these are description and report of Jesus' miracles, like when the Lord healed a paralytic in Mark chapter 2, and the feeding of the 5,000 in John chapter 6. And then the last one, actually that stamp, the last one is parables, a simple story that has a call for response feature, according to Fee and Stewart. And a good example is the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. Now, parables, usually the lesson is at the end of the parables. But it's also interesting that at times there are things to learn within the parable. That's why, as an exercise, did you bring your Bibles? Huh? Dapat dala nyo, this is New Testament survey. Okay, if you flip the page or you still call that flip if you're using a tablet or a phone, smartphone. By the way, a tablet is biblical. You know that? Moses had tablets, but he broke the tablets, right? You know why? Because it's Android. Okay. Matthew chapter 13. I want you to read the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. Okay, that's 13 verses 44 to 46. Okay, you can read that in 3 minutes. Okay, by the way, I just want to say that God is always the main character in the Bible. Like in the case of the book of Judges, of course, they tried to liberate their countrymen from oppressors, but it was actually God who fought for them. Now, with regards to this parable, let me just ask, who is the hidden treasure and the pearl in these parables? Huh? Anyone? Who is the sino daw ba yung hidden treasure and the pearl?
God is the hidden treasure.
God is the hidden treasure.
Because my teacher said God is the main character.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Miss Marie. I'll comment later whether that's wrong or right. Who else? Who is the hidden treasure? Who is the pearl? Anyone?
Yes, sorry.
Okay.
The hidden treasure in the pearl of great value is us, the church. It's us.
It's us? How about the pearl?
Us again.
Same thing. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Raya. Who else? One more. Who is the hidden treasure? Oh, si Ida ata mong may sasabihin.
Sabi mo kasi who, I always thought it was a what.
Oh,
it
okay.
Was the kingdom of heaven, the
kingdom of heaven is
the treasure.
Okay, thank you. Anyone here, well, they gave three answers. It's God, us, and the kingdom. Anyone here who has an answer not these three, not from these three? Hello? Wala? Okay. We'll answer that later. No, actually, okay, let me ask Miss Marie, why God? Ayun lang, sinabi ko, it's God. Okay. Ayun lang explanation. That's the only explanation. Or why God? The hidden treasure, and the pearl. Okay, babalikan ka namin. Shiraya, why us?
Because I think that the man, that the man who sold all that he had, and the merchant who saw the fine pearls is God. Sorry.
So the what the fine pearls?
Yeah. So I think that So because the fine pearl. Yung fine pearls is us because I think that the merchant is God.
Yeah. Why did you conclude that the merchant is God? Anything from the context?
Because he gave everything the verse that says that who went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Okay.
I think that's Jesus.
Okay. Thank you, Miss Raya. Miss Ida. Why the kingdom?
Always thought na yung merchant tayo, and when we find that the gospel or we receive Jesus, we give everything up.
Okay.
And then we to get that pearl.
Okay.
You give up your life.
Okay, so we have to give up stuff to gain the relationship with the Lord. Okay, Miss Marie, meron ka nang sagot?
Hindi pa sumasagot si Joseph sa text ko. Okay.
Technology is limited.
Own a friend. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I did bring my intellectual brain today.
It's okay. Iba na lang tatanungin ko sa'yo mamaya.
Because the one who sowed the good seed, it says here in Matthew 13:37, is the Son of Man. So the field belongs to God, and he is the sower, but the seed he plants is also his word.
Okay.
And so that's why
in what passage?
That is in Matthew 13, verse 36, 37, NIV 1984 edition.
Okay. Sige. Okay lang yun. So, going back to this passage, unfortunately, the NIV, how many of you here, you have the ESV rendition? Can you read the, yeah. 3 verses.
The kingdom, is it on? Yeah. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind.
Okay. Thank you. Now, you realize that there are breaks in the parables, right? Because like Apostle Matthew, use the word again in verse 45. But the verse before that, I mean verse 43, he already ended, Miss Marie, when he said that he who has ears, let him hear. And that is how we describe the parable. A simple story that has a call for response feature. And that's why he started another one in verse 44. So the sower has nothing to do anymore with what's happening in verse 44. Okay? But I'm more of leaning towards what Ms. Raya said, because this has been the theme of the book of Matthew, and that's why he's presenting, Matthew was presenting Jesus Christ as the Savior, and then we'll get to that more about that later. And I agree that when the merchant or the treasure hunter gave up a lot of things just to gain the treasure and the pearl, it's actually the picture of God. Jesus Christ is God. But yes, he is the main character of the parable. Tama ba? The treasure hunter and the merchant. It's not the hidden treasure and the pearl. Okay, so parables are kind of like that, and we have to be careful when we read parables. We have to there are people who misread parables, like Origen, an ancient church father, who put meaning in many different items in the parable of the prodigal. I mean the Good Samaritan. When he mentioned there that the Good Samaritan was Jesus, and the robbers were actually Satan and demons, and the victim was actually us, and the inn was the church, kind of putting meanings in all the items of the parable. We should not do that. It's more of the way we did it this morning. We have to consider God is the main character, and there's always a lesson at the end. But of course, this parable did not end here. It ended up to what verse? Well, verse 46. Because in verse 47, it started with once again. That's the NIV rendition. Okay? Okay, so questions. Violet reaction. You have to talk. Use the mic, Ms. Judy.
You said that in parables, we need to be careful in reading it. So how do we avoid misinterpreting it?
Well, if we'll just stay within those rules, like number one, don't put meaning in each item in the parable. Always look for the bigger lesson, and that's usually at the end of the parable. And always consider God as the main character. So those simple steps could help a lot. Any more questions? We have 10 minutes before 12, so let's just spend these 10 minutes. Use the 10 minutes for questions and answers. Sandali, Ms. Marie. Okay.
Hi, Pastor Noel. Naisip ko lang, what do we do with rhema words?
Kasi rhema diba, words?
Rhema, I know.
Yeah.
Some of us, many of us have heard it, used it, believe in it. Like if that particular parable speaks to us very personally.
Yeah.
And then, yung katulad niyo sinabi niyo, we can put meaning into every detail.
Yeah.
And so somehow go beyond the rules of interpreting scripture. So how do we deal with that? Because people who are in our groups might also have those kinds of experiences where they read the Bible.
And they have a different interpretation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like the hidden treasure becomes them or something like
yeah.
that. Thank you.
Of course, when we read the Bible, we have those rhema words. We call that pneumatic exegesis. because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. But whatever was read in your devotional time, and you believe it's a promise from God to you, then how could we argue, or how can we contest that? That's yours. The caveat, though, or the disclaimer is, you don't teach that to everyone. That's for your personal promise from the Lord, but not as a then you'll create a teaching, point one, point two, that's a no-no. When you begin to teach, then at least spend a good work on exegesis. And I think Pastor Paul Barker mentioned to you about that word, exegesis, like Bible interpretation. So nothing wrong with that as long as you keep it to yourself and believe that it's from the Lord, okay? I encourage you to believe that it's a promise from God, okay? Embrace it, okay? Ms. Marie, you have a question?
Pastor Noel, forgive my brain, but I need your help, okay? Can I go back to the first when you talked about the four gospels and the probable reasons?
Yeah.
So among these four reasons, I just wanted to clarify lang for myself.
Yeah.
Among the four, what you're saying is the correct one is the providential concurrent.
Providential concurrent.
Yeah, so everything else is just a school of thought. Ganun ba yon?
Yeah, well, like dictation, we believe that in a limited sense.
Okay.
Because there are places in the Bible where, like, for example, in Revelation 2:1, we showed it there that it's actually a dictation. The Lord was dictating to John what he ought to write word for word. But not in a way that they were like in a trance.
Yes.
The mechanical, what do you call that, aspect is present. It was not bypassed.
Okay, but the main thing you're saying is that it's the providential.
Concurrent.
That's what we believe. Okay. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask, because you mentioned in accommodation, that we are told that biblical writers are imperfect creatures. So they push, when God turned the water in the Nile River, you gave that as an example.
Yeah.
So are you saying, what are you saying here?
No, I'm saying that is the view of those who hold to the low view of the scripture.
To this one. But
yeah,
it's
but
not
we're
necessarily
not, well,
a fact.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to know kasi nalito ako. Yeah,
okay.
Sorry.
Buti nga, kinaklaro nyo. That's why I need you to talk. Okay.
Nagwa-warm up pa kasi utak ko.
Okay lang. Iwa ko na lang to rito. Day off. Any more questions? We have like 6 minutes. Okay. Anong question yan? Ha? Huh? Okay. Okay lang. Wag lang math. Mahirap yung math.
This one is from Miss Gia.
Okay.
So aside from providential concurrent, we also believe the full perspective.
Oh yeah.
So among this list, we believe the two.
Yeah, the providential concurrent is under number two. Yes. Number three is the.
Okay, but fuller under number two, we only believe dictation and accommodation limitedly.
Yeah, dictation. Dictation theory in a limited sense. Well, at least that is what I encourage you to believe in. Now, if you don't want to my encouragement, then you can believe that. Mm-hmm. But accommodation, it's more of most people who embrace that are liberal scholars. They have a low view of scripture. Like, for example, the Bible is outdated. That's why you cannot impose a marriage of a male and a female in the 21st century because that's outdated. Those are some of the implications of accommodation. They just did not know better.
Okay.
Okay. So this will actually help us. This intends to help us clarify
understand
why when somebody is speaking something about the Bible that falls under this kind of perspective.
Yeah.
And then we will defend it in the side that is under full providential, concurrent, and full perspective.
Yeah, yeah. I just presented many different views, or at least three views of the inspiration. And I'm saying that the providential concurrent is the closest when it comes to why, how we can explain the reason for four Gospels.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Okay. I have another question for myself.
Yeah.
When you said that these parables, we should take them with caution for our personal use only, and when we're talking about Rhema or illumination.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that part. But when you said we have to be cautious when teaching, are we encouraged also to say the same? Let's say for the people that we are leading, the way they're doing their victory groups, they're teaching about these parables that they received illumination from.
Yeah.
Are we encouraged to?
Yeah, we encourage people to do that. But of course, we cannot expect everyone to be perfect. And that's why, you know, like J.I. Packer himself said, the Bible is inerrant, meaning error-free. What's erroneous are the interpreters, the interpretation. So, but of course, I don't know anyone who could perfectly interpret a passage unless it's totally literal, like thou shalt not steal. Mm-hmm. It has to be free from interpretation. So, but like the parables, I don't know, probably they could be like 99.9% right, but I don't expect someone to get it 100%. Even pastors, like your husband, commit mistakes, right?
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you. Any more questions? Let's maximize the time. Okay, Ms. Dea.
What can we do to catch ourselves when we read the Bible literally and not literarily? What exercise can we do?
Yeah, well, like I said, we are by nature, we could distinguish genres. Like you don't, like someone told me that, Pastor, I learned that Jesus Christ has a wife. How'd we go? Where did you learn that? You know, what's that movie of Tom Hanks? The Gospel of Judas? Naghang yung hard drive ko. Da Vinci Code. And he said, well, I read it in the book, the Da Vinci Code. Well, I said, that's fiction. But he wrote it. It's in the book. Well, that's fiction, I said. Well, I believe he researched, even if this is fiction. And I said, well, if you believe that material, despite the fact that it's fiction, it's like history, then let me tell you something. Darth Vader is my cousin. So we have a natural, I don't know if that nature is perfect, but at least we could easily, if I may use the word discern, or at least in a more generic sense, distinguish differences in genre. I hope we exercise that too in the Bible. And in fact, modern translations like ESV and NIV at times help us by doing that for us. Like they put them in a poetic layout. Do you notice that? Like for example, here in Matthew chapter 22, verse 44, the NIV put that in a poetic layout. You can check that in your Bible. And it's not like paragraph with indention. Okay, but in its poetic layout. So usually you could easily spot that using modern translations. That's why I always believe it's superior to use the modern translations. I don't believe in that King James only stuff. Okay, Ms. Riza.
Pastor Noel, I think there's a small tension about the statement that if it's a rhema word, it's for only for personal consumption and you cannot share it to the people you're discipling. But I think there's an exception to that.
Yeah.
Provided that your personal revelation is corroborated by other scriptures in the other parts of the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So, meaning, if my personal revelation can be backed up by other scriptures elsewhere, I think I can be confident to share it as a biblical truth.
Yeah, you can share it, but don't teach it. Like, for example, Felix Manalo, he had this rhema word that he was the bird of prey from the east. He read that in Isaiah. Okay lang sana kung kanya na lang, di ba? But he began to teach other people that it was him. That the prophet Isaiah prophesied about him, and therefore he has this authority to establish this pseudo-Christian group. So that was what I was trying to say. You can have that, share that, probably in personal context, but don't teach it.
I just want to add something. Kasi the difference between teaching and sharing is if you teach, there's a certain degree of instruction. So if all of us comes here and it's a teaching moment, then at the end of the day, we should have the same basic principles after. But when it comes to speaking or impartation or inspiration, that's where preaching and, you know, when you share your personal things, we have different interpretations or different things that we can get depending on our season. So, like for example, like if it's teaching, dapat we all come out having the same, at least getting the same basic principles, because that's teaching. It's meant to instruct. But if it's inspiration, so it depends on the interpretation. That's why I like what Pastor Noel said, that when you're teaching it, there should be due diligence. Now, it's not just about well, your rhema word and all that, that's valid, but it has to be corroborated with other scriptures. And that's where diligence comes in. Kasi you're teaching already, you're instructing already, you're putting basic principles and foundations in the lives of other people.
Okay. Is that right? I think.
Go ahead.
Okay.
It's just also like what Mai said, but I think I'll just give an example. We can teach if it's really a principle from the Bible, it's issue of righteousness. If you have to say you have to read the Bible, of course we can share that.
Yeah.
And all scripture will attest to that. But if, for example, I receive a revelation that I should be healthy, eating healthy food and I should follow, say, let's say, Leviticus 11. And it was very clear to me, it's just an example that God spoke to me, I want you to be healthy, this is what you should do. It's still biblical, it's still right, but it's not an issue of righteousness and sin. I cannot go on teaching my victory group, you know, this is the only food that you should eat because the Bible said it. So I cannot impose that to people because it's that's what it's saying. It's a personal inspiration, but it's not a biblical instruction.
Yeah, but the passage that you cited is one of those that does not need interpretation, kind of like thou shalt not steal. So there are verses that require minimal study, or like I said, it's direct. You don't need to interpret. So if those are the only type of passages that you're going to quote, no problem with that. But what if it's like what Felix Manalo was saying, that he was the bird of prey from the Far East? So that's, you have to have due diligence.
Pastor Noel, I think it's like you're...
Do you want to eat lunch or you just have to...
Go
ahead.
One minute. What you're talking about is there are certain scriptures that you cannot add or minus, right? Like, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. You don't need interpretation for that or a personal perspective. But of course it says there in Ephesians 6, like, let the revelation knowledge reveal in your heart. So it's like...
It's like what you're saying with the four Gospels. The apostles all have different perspective, but together it's full.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to take away the fact that even as a prophetic, when you teach, or you give your prophetic word, there are some truth to it. There are certain angles. You can still teach it, but not, it could be a revelation knowledge to your heart.
Yeah.
And we should not be afraid to teach that revelation knowledge to your heart, because it could encourage and strengthen and comfort others.
Yeah.
There's the boundary there. But to say this is only the truth, that's where it stops.
Yeah.
Am I understanding it
if
right?
If you quote that and you say that it's prophetic, then...
Yeah.
That's different compared to just from
say
your quiet time and
this
then...
This is final and there's no change to that.
And even then, you're subject to confirmation coming from different people. You can't just prophesy and say that's it, that's canonized, you know.
Pastor Noel, one more.
Yeah.
Thank you for this, because it's really helping us to grow deeper with the Word. But I just have a question, particularly for new believers.
Yeah.
Because when you're talking with them and you want them to guide them in loving the Word, would you say it's safe for them to use devotional materials outside that are available?
Yeah. Okay lang. Like, you know, yeah, a few years ago, I think we followed Pastor Steve's example in reading My Utmost for His Highest. And it's a, thank God for that book. It remains anointed for years, you know. And of course, we can encourage them to use that. But again, those are diluted materials, interpreted materials. So it's better if we'll just read directly the Bible. But sure, that can help too.
One last.
Okay.
Actually,
on
a practical note, because of our position as pastors' wives, everything that we share to our coaching group or whoever in church will automatically be echoed. Maybe you don't realize it, but they really hold us in a high position. That's why this is really good. We're learning to study the Word deeper. So I guess we really need to ask for discernment and sensitivity from the Holy Spirit. If it is the right thing to share, if it's the right time to share, because no doubt it will be echoed to other small group leaders, and it can start a new culture, actually. The language that we say will be passed on to others, so we really have to be careful.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Jen. Okay? We'll ask questions again later. Ms. Debra, you have... Okay, so you want to eat lunch now? Well, let's just continue. We'll resume 1 o'clock or... Okay, 1 o'clock. You have 51 minutes to eat your lunch.